Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled. Pixel Sift is proudly supported by Murdoch University School of Arts, who have been with us since the very beginning, since episode one. It's where we learn how to make podcasts and radio and video. And if you're interested in a creative degree in games, sound, film, or journalism, or maybe you'd like to pick bits and pieces that suit you and make some, you know, agile, adaptive degree and give yourself a career that would work really well in the future, then you should give Murdoch School of Arts a go. You can find out more information if you head to murdoch.edu.au/arts. You can learn what they've got on offer and everything you can check out. So that's murdoch.edu.au/arts, or you can search for Murdoch University for more information. Murdoch University School of Arts, proudly supporting Pixel Sift. Good to be back. Let me tell you this. Hello and welcome to Pixel Sift. My name is Gianni. I'm your host for today. And for those of you joining for the first time, I was here quite a bit in previous episodes, but I haven't been here for a long time. I'm joined today by Fiona, who's in the studio with me.
Hello.
And on the line via the internet, we've got Sarah, Melbourne correspondent. And our guest this evening is Zamfir Dimitru. He's from Monster Scope Studios. Zamfir, thanks for joining us tonight.
No worries. I'm happy to be here, guys.
Now, we're going to be hearing all about your game, Dawnblade, a little bit later. It's a hack and slash dungeon crawler, sort of an action RPG. But before we get into that, what else are we checking out today, Fiona?
So tonight we'll also be talking about the crunch period in game development and how it impacts the game development community.
It's all going to be interesting. It's been lighting up Twitter, so we can't wait to get into it. Let's jump in, shall we?
You're listening to Pixel Sift. So our first topic today is we're talking about the crunch period in game development, and this discussion was recently brought back in focus because of an interview with Dan Houser, who's the co-founder of Rockstar, because he made a comment about how they were working 100 hours a week during the completion of Red Dead Redemption 2. But then later in another interview, he clarified that he was talking about it in relation to how the narrative and dialogue was created, and that the 100 hours was only in reference to the senior writers, including him and three other people.
What's really interesting about this is there used to be a time, if you remember, I remember definitely, back when a lot of these writers and game creators used to talk about these massive hours that they were putting in to complete these games as sort of a badge of honour. And the conversation has really shifted to a different perspective. And if you'd seen, if you'd been on the internet in the last week or so, just about everyone has kind of been talking about this and saying, look, this isn't something to be proud of. This is something that these 100 hours or 14 hours a day is what it works out to be. And that's if you work like 7 days a week as well. I think it's quite a big number, or 20 hours a day if you're only doing 5 days a week, which people are probably not doing that. It's a big cost. And you know, there's these factors as well that we know of that are it's not a great thing to do. Now, you came across some good quotes talking about sort of the negative impacts of the crunch on game development, didn't you?
Yeah, so Fiona, one in particular that I found super interesting was actually from someone who used to be part of Team Bondi, was it?
Yes.
Yes, so
which was the studio that worked underneath Rockstar.
Yes, and they also created LA Noire here in Australia. And she came in to the company, and she noticed everyone was pretty miserable and down because they would just work so hard to focus on trying to get things done. So she decided to bake a cake, and she brought it in, sent out a whole bunch of emails saying, look, let's have 30 minutes to just chill and have a piece of cake. And doing that, she found that it lifted morale so much because they were able to talk to each other and communicate and help each other. But then she got told by her boss to stop doing it because the higher-ups are thinking that they're slacking off and things like that. And afterwards, she just couldn't do it because everyone just went back to being really negative about their work and really hard to focus and things like that.
Who is that said that?
Jen Sandercock.
Oh, previously of Team Bondi. Sorry, Sarah.
Going off that, actually, I was looking at some articles earlier today, and I found one particularly interesting that talked about like the relation of the bosses at Rockstar versus the staff. And this is a quote from a guy called Stauffer, and he worked at Rockstar about a decade ago. I think it was he was part of the Grand Theft Auto 4 team, and this article is from GameRant.com. And he said, it's been nearly a decade since I parted from Rockstar, but I can assure you that during the GTA 4 era, it was like working with a gun to your head 7 days a week. And another thing he said was, in his experience, someone said to him, or it was implied, be here Saturday and Sunday too, just in case Sam or Dan, the two leads of Rockstar, come in. They want to see everyone working as hard as them. So that, in response to what they're clarifying their quotes, being like, oh, no, we're just talking about us and the lead writers. You know, no, we're the ones that are working that hard, but the trickle-down effect going on to their staff is kind of clear. And I find it interesting that they're trying to, you know, that there's been a long history of this being a consistent thing at Rockstar, and they're just trying to imply that they're the only ones doing it when it's like they're putting it onto all their staff. And staff have come out saying this has been happening for years, you know.
Zamfir, I'm curious, you work in a game development studio, you have a team there, and I'm sure you would have had points where you'd need to, you know, push towards a deadline and you'd had a hard limit in which you needed to get something ready. What does that sort of feel like, and how do you kind of deal with that sort of situation?
Oh, well, firstly, it does not feel good. So we did our biggest ever crunch, and I should say we always try to avoid it, whenever possible. But before going to Gamescom in Germany, which is like the biggest game event in all of Europe, we needed to get the build ready. We needed to have squash out all the bugs and have it all working and get as much stuff as we could in there, because it was extremely important. For a lot of reasons, going to Gamescom and overseas and so on, you want to have a working build. And we had to crunch. There was just stuff that was not ready. It just wasn't playable. And let's see. I try not to get the other team members to crunch. Because we're a very small team, so it's like three people. It's me. And then I have my artist, she's actually my sister, and then I have another programmer. And with them, because they don't do full-time work yet, mainly because, you know, we can't afford to bring them on full-time. But with them, what I did was I just offered to give them full-time work for that time period, the crunch period. But I was crunching pretty hard myself. I was crunching really hard, and I think I was going on for about 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks, the crunch.
And how many hours were you putting in a day, do you think?
I would say I got close to 100 hours a week, I'd say. I probably did about 90 hours. And I got an insane amount of work done, probably a month, even 2 months' worth of work done. So, you know, you can kind of see why people, especially bigger companies, they can see this, and they can go ahead and implement this, I guess, on a regular basis, because so much gets done. Productivity just goes wild. But it's not pleasant. It is not pleasant at all. It's incredibly stressful. It's literally like it's a hard feeling to describe. You do get a lot of work done, but it's unbelievably difficult.
What's some of the costs, I guess, associated with it? That you've experienced?
You mean, well,
I think it's physical toll or mental toll, or
well, There's both. There's both. So physical toll, you're always tired. You're always tired. You're always lacking sleep. I remember this one time. I think I had a Tuesday deadline, and I had to get a build up to publishers. I think this was actually a previous crunch before Gamescom, and I was meant to get the build up at like by midnight, right? And there was a massive bug in the game, and it wasn't working, and Apple wasn't uploading it, and I was up until 8 a.m. trying to get it working. So I literally had no sleep at all, and then I had 3 hours sleep, and then woke up and just kept going. So it takes a large physical toll on you. It's a big physical toll. I would say probably it's just draining. It's just extremely draining, and there's no way you can do it for more than, I would say, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way.
There was actually an instance back in 2010 when there was an open letter that was written by the spouses of some of the game developers at Rockstar claiming that the employees were being turned into machines. They're, quote, turned into machines as they are solely robbed by their humanity because of such the harsh working conditions and all the hours that they're having to put in.
And there was a Dylan Wilderman, who was a GTA 5 developer, a former Rockstar employee, said the survivor of the GTA 5 crunch, it was hell, involved 12 to 14 hour work days, 6 days a week, and it estimated that it lasted for a year, going past release to account for post-launch support and DLC. So it obviously sounds like it's a full-on situation and something that is probably something to be avoided. Moody Xander on Twitch has just said that I'm always of the opinion that anything sort of resembling a crunch time on any occupation should be the special case and not the norm. And then SQDJ says, yeah, I think that's how it existed in the first place, and then it was sort of abused. So
yeah, there's
yes,
a quote.
I agree.
There's a quote from Dr. Jennifer Hazel, who's actually the founder of the mental health organization Checkpoint, and she said crunch works for about 2 weeks, and then after that you reduce your productivity, you reduce your financial benefit, and you burn out your employees. So everyone knows that the crunch is linked to burnout, but people are exploiting it. All these companies are exploiting it, forcing the game developers to go longer than they really should.
Would you like to see some sort of rules rolled out that would, you know, avoid this sort of thing entirely, Zamfir, if you were working in a big situation like that? Would you work in a studio like that, or have you worked in a studio situation where you maybe don't have the same say over your own hours as you do currently?
No, I have not been in that situation. But that's obviously if it's an ongoing basis, like I think you said that did it for a year or something. If it's like their standard, that's obviously totally wrong. They'll burn out. They'll just lose all inspiration. They won't want to do it anymore. And I think the product will be impacted by that. But rules. As far as I know, in Australia at least, there are rules to how much you can work. I think you're not allowed to you're not allowed to make someone work more than 40 or 45 hours a week or something. There are already rules. I'm not sure about other countries and how they get around that. I guess that's up to the lawmakers in the countries to stamp their foot down and say, no, you can't employ someone, blah, blah, blah. But yes, it really shouldn't be happening on an ongoing basis. I would say the only time it should ever be allowed is when, you know, there's an extremely important deadline, it's like make it or break it, and only the people with actual stake in the game, and by stake I mean like actual equity, I guess,
financial
in the company,
stake in
or
it.
founders or owners of it, only they should be really doing it. So normal employees who have really nothing to gain from the product's success or failure, I think they should be kept out.
We've got a comment from Super Africa on Twitch who says, no union, there's no game developers union. And OJ Machine says, do devs get a warning when these crunch shifts occurring, or are they kind of sprung on them? Because if you're not prepared for a long shift, then it's much more painful. So, yeah, look, I think it's going to be an interesting thing to follow up with. There's already been some calls from some outlets not to cover this game or to mention in this game that there is this cost that was associated with the people doing this thing. I guess the full story is hard to determine because Dan Houser, who gave this interview to Vulture, famously does not generally talk to the press. So there isn't much transparency there, and it seems like maybe this is a factor that, you know, he's that old school type of game developer where, you know, back in the mid-90s or the early 2000s, this sort of thing was held as a badge of honour, and now is not seen as much in the same
way. I've seen a lot of game artists from like 3D concept art in general talking about this on Twitter because I follow a lot of them, and the general opinion has been, and they're from a range of different generations and ages, and a lot of them have been talking about, like, within their own companies or within the attitudes that they see online, a lot of them have advocated for the whole, if you're an older game artist or developer and you think that this is okay, you need to shut up, you know, because this is awful and it's killing younger devs. And I've seen a lot of people also try and talk about, we need to push for unionization. And this is a lot of American artists or artists working in America. And, you know, obviously Australia's a different situation, but I've seen so many people go, we need to make a union because of this. And I do wonder, is this going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back? Is this going to push for a big wave of unionization of game developers and game artists across America? It'll be interesting to find out what happens in the wake of this.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think we will only have to wait and see, basically. GDC was where the first sort of Game Workers Unite stuff started to appear earlier this year, and the tickets for the most recent GDC have just opened up, or next year's one. So potentially we might see a bit more of that. Maybe we might even see some at Melbourne International Games Week next week as the talk towards unionisation for game workers. Let's jump into our next topic now, shall we?
Visit us on pixelsift.com.au.
Now, if you're just joining us, Zamfir Dimitru is our guest this evening. He is from the Melbourne-based studio Monster Scope, and he's joining us tonight to talk about his action RPG, Dawnblade. Now, what is the game? Can you tell us? Can you paint a picture of what this game is if people haven't seen it before?
Well, sure. So I'll give you a quick rundown first. Mm-hmm. So Dawnblade is a free-to-play action RPG. You can grab your sword and run around through dungeons, slaying monsters and collecting loot and gold. And as you progress through the game, you can level up your skills and acquire new magical skills. And you can acquire pets, bring them into battle, and they fight with you. And there's a lot of stuff. You can upgrade your weapons, your inventory. You know, it's just there's a lot of fun. It's a lot of action, a lot of adrenaline. It's something we're very proud of. So far. We've been developing it for a good 3.5 years so far, and it's getting close to release.
Now,
it's getting close.
You've been working on it for a while, but people might not be 100% familiar with the term action RPG. How does that sort of game work, and what are some examples that people might be able to kind of frame it in their mind if they're listening at home?
Okay, so there are a couple of familiar references, I guess. So you can look at Diablo. Mm-hmm. You can, especially Diablo 3, you can look at Torchlight. You can look at Path of Exile. So it's not a game on that massive scale, but it's similar art style. The combat is a little more advanced, I would say. We've worked more on the combat. So the art style similar, combat's a little more advanced. The camera view and so on, it's all quite similar. The item system and a lot of the looting and the gearing system. So you'll see a lot of similarities between our game and those games. But we've put our own twist on it, and we get a lot of players actually at events that are Diablo players, and they come at us and they say, no, it doesn't work on mobile. Never played a good one on mobile. It's just terrible. And then after they finish, they're left quite surprised at what we've been able to achieve. And the funny thing is, it's actually not that hard to achieve. Mobiles are strong enough. You know, the new iPads, the new mobiles, they're way strong enough to do all of this. So, by action RPG and by, I guess, getting a preview of the game, that's kind of what you're looking at. That's
painting a bit of a picture for us.
Yeah. So So ideally, if you've played any of these games, you'll come over to our game and you'll have a bit of fun.
We've got a couple of comments coming in from the Twitch chat. Super Africa is extremely excited about the idea of pets being in your game. Is that a mechanic that you guys wanted to do better than other games? Because I've played a few games of the same genre, and often pets just kind of feel like they're there as cosmetics. Like, did you what kind of made you guys decide you wanted to include pets as a significant part of the game, and like how much do they affect the gameplay overall?
Right. So we decided to do pets. I think it was 2 years in or 1.5 years in. Originally, we didn't want to because we thought we didn't have the resources and so on. But then we it just made total sense. It would have made the whole game better and so on. But when we did do pets, we wanted to do them properly and try to do them better than any other mobile game. And we did do a full on I guess pet feature. So your pet, you can basically purchase your pet or hatch your pet. You can upgrade it. You can unlock skills for it, and it comes into battle with you. It runs around and it attacks monsters for you. It kills them. It can heal you. It can do a lot of stuff. So it's a full on pet. It's a full on pet.
Without the vet bills.
Yeah.
Yes, put that in your marketing. Full on pet.
But actually, we still got some feedback from a lot of players that the pets still appear a little bit, I guess, ineffective, which means they kind of go off on their own and just go and kill monsters on their own. And this is a really interesting thing because they do go and they do kill monsters. It's just that you can't see it as a player because it kind of goes off screen. So we're going to do a little bit more. We're going to do a little bit more there. We'll work on the AI a little bit more. But actually, I think a few little tweaks and we've got it working really nicely.
So you mentioned before about how the game's being released on mobile platforms first. Why did you decide to release it on mobile devices rather than console or PC?
We decided mobile because, well, firstly, my background was more mobile. And second of all, you don't get a lot of mobile games with like proper gameplay. Console quality or PC kind of level gameplay, and I always knew it was possible to do. Not many people were doing it. They kind of focused more on meta features and clicking and stuff like that, so I wanted to focus a lot on gameplay. So my whole position was that if we can do a game with really, really good gameplay on mobile, people will see that, people like it, it'll get exposure, and it'll do well. So that was what I was thinking back early on, 3.5 years ago now, and it's looking really good. It's looking like it's working out. So that was kind of my thinking behind.
Now, if you're just joining us, you're watching Pixel Sift. Thanks for tuning in. We're your indie game video interview podcast show live on Twitch. We're joined by Dimitru, and we're talking about his game Dawnblade, which is an action RPG, sort of in the style of a Diablo or a Torchlight, but the interesting twist is that it's a mobile-first game. What does it mean to kind of make this game to you, and how does it feel to be kind of at this point where you might be close to release?
Well, it feels like we're about to finish the longest marathon we've ever run, so it's starting to feel pretty good. It's starting to feel good. We're on that last stretch. We're on that last 20% stretch right now. But it's definitely the hardest thing I've ever done, I would say. The hardest thing I've ever done. And I probably wouldn't do another one as big, such a small team again, because I'm too old for that shit. Excuse my language. But, I was young when I started. I was, I think, 19. If I can remember, or 20, I was about 20.
Yeah.
So I had free time on my hands and so on. But the timing was right. But it does feel good to be getting close, to finishing it. It was very good.
Is it multiplayer support in this game as well, or is it a single player game?
Oh, well, that's actually really interesting. So we were always planned to do a bunch of online features and multiplayer, but we haven't done them yet. And actually, right now, this month, in October, we are starting. And you'll be able to do PvP. We want to do at least PvP, so you can fight another player. from anywhere in the world. And we're thinking real-time PvP, which just on mobile, it's a little tough to do, but I feel like the technology's. And we also think of doing kind of co-op, co-raids, so you can raid dungeons together with your team or your squad. So we're actually starting on that this month. Actually, I have already started on it behind the scenes. And
is that something that's going to be in there at launch or something that's going to come in after the fact?
It'll be there at launch. We have to actually have that. And these games, they all have an element of online features in them.
Yeah.
And we need to have that as well, or else it just won't be able to compete.
You mentioned that you're almost at the end of this long marathon and you know, you're just about to get it out there and people are going to be able to play it. You've taken it to some of the big conventions around the world. You've taken it to Gamescom, was it? And to Tokyo as well. What is it like sort of showing it off to those huge conventions?
Well, let's start with Gamescom. So Gamescom is based in Germany. It is Europe's largest game convention. It had 350,000 people in 2017 and actually 500,000 people this year, the one we went to. We went there mainly to look for publishers for our game. So we weren't too focused on exhibiting, but we did exhibit at one of the pre-Gamescom, I guess, events, where it was industry only. And that was still packed. So it was pretty crazy. So we exhibited there for 2 days, and we met about, I'd say, 15 to 25 publishers within those 2 days who just came up to us. So that's a lot.
Mm.
And some of them are looking really good right now, actually, we're talking now. And then after that, we had the Gamescom event. And let me tell you, if you're exhibiting your game to the consumers on the consumer floor, oh my goodness, you'd be lucky to make it out alive. It's insane how many people.
Did it compare to the crunch feeling of getting everything ready for it?
Oh, honestly. Well, I didn't do it, but I had friends who did it. I was just in the business area, luckily, and that was still packed. But I had friends who were doing it, and I think from hearing what they're saying, I think it's anything they've ever done. I'm hearing it's really, really, really hard. I'll talk more about going to Japan, because we did show it there, but I'll talk about that soon.
Mm.
But it's just on a whole new level, and it is incredibly difficult. You want like four or five people with you, so it's tough. It is really, really. It's one of the hardest things, I'd say, and one of the hardest parts of game development. So yeah, it's brutal.
You're going to be showing off the game at PAX Australia. We've got a question from OJ Machine on Twitch. Sure. And they've asked, what do you want the punters, and I quote, to feel or experience when they're trying your game at PAX this year?
The main thing we usually want people to feel is kind of like a action adrenaline kind of feeling. It's an interesting thing trying to develop something that you can feel. So it's adrenaline mixed with reflexes, mixed with just raw action. And we worked very hard to achieve that. And I feel like most of our players do get that. Whenever we do get complaints about our game, it's never about the feeling. The feeling is always good. So we're happy about that. It's always about the other stuff, like, this mechanic is just a little bit that doesn't quite work properly, or you know, can we improve the pets a little bit or something like that. So we're happy with the feeling. The feeling's like we've done that bit. So it's mostly just adrenaline, I'd say, in the end. It's mostly adrenaline.
Look, if people want to check out a bit more stuff ahead of the show, where's the best place for them to find out a bit more information about the game?
Well, you can jump on our website. You can jump on our social media. I would say come to our Discord. It's the best place to be. You can talk to me directly or the developers or some of the other players of the game. Ask any questions you want. We can send you an early build. So mainly, I would say, to get a quick view of the game, Facebook, Twitter, mm-hmm. or even our website to talk to us, the best place is Discord.
And so that you can go to the website as well, which is monsterscopestudios.com. There's a link to Discord on there. It's Monsterscope Studios on Facebook and on Twitter. Well, look, it all sounds it's very exciting. We're very keen to come and give it a go at PAX in a weekend or two, the last weekend in October. Thanks for joining us this evening, Zamfir. We really appreciate you spending the time with us and telling us a little bit about Dawnblade, your mobile action RPG.
No worries. Happy to do it.
Now, thank you all for tuning in and joining us for another episode of Pixel Sift and spending some time and learning a little bit about this game. This episode was hosted by myself. It was hosted by Sarah in Melbourne and Fiona as well. So thank you to my co-hosts. It was produced by Mitch Lowe and Scott Quigg, and the executive producer is me, Gianni DiGiovanni. Thank you very much to Murdoch University School of Arts for supporting Pixel Sift through all of our 107 episodes. If you'd like to learn more about a creative degree, a great creative degree, you can go to murdoch.edu.au/arts. Now, Sarah, if people want to find out us on social media, like maybe they want to follow our PAX or SIFT stuff that's happening at PAX Australia, where should they go to?
Well, Gianni, we have many different websites and I'm very unprepared, so unfortunately I don't have them on me right now. But we
Facebook.com.
They did not put, they're not in the scripts.
Facebook.com.
Sorry, totally not my fault. Facebook.com/pixelsift. We are also on Twitter, which is @pixelsift. We are also on Instagram, which is, I believe, @pixelsift.
Got it.
Two.
Nailed it.
Not two. Just on
YouTube.
Oh,
go for the
thanks,
four for
thanks,
four.
Johnny. YouTube.com/pixelsiftau.
Nailed it. And
yes,
Fiona,
I didn't lose my job. Thank
there you.
You.
Go.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You redeemed it at the end. No one noticed. It's all good. Fiona, now if people want to listen back to us some other episodes or check out some of the articles that we've been putting up on where should they have a look at?
So you can go to our website to stream episodes. You can subscribe as a podcast either on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Pocket Casts, or whatever podcast player that you listen to us on. We're on all of them. Next Thursday, we'll be live from Melbourne at PAX with Giant Margarita and their game Party Crashers. We'll be designing the new Pixel SIF mode. And then our next podcast episode is on the 1st of November.
And we'll actually be recording that live at PAX as well. That's at the Audio-Technica booth on Sunday at 10 o'clock. There's a big list. Go back to your podcast player because I did a big breakdown of everything that we're doing there. So there's heaps and heaps for you to check out. So come along and just say hello because we'd like to say hello to you. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you in Melbourne, hopefully. Thanks, Zamfir.
Thank you very much, guys. Awesome to be here.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.